Okay, so we're on Daf Zion today. Okay, I need everybody's attention. We're a few lines from the top, on the second line. Okay, please. Zion Amud Aleph, the second line. Rabbi Ami shared libal b'tchila b'shabbat. So Rabbi Ami permitted one to have bia with one's wife on Shabbos. We discussed already that this machloket, whether you're allowed to or not, and it came out from yesterday's Gemara was actually machloket tanaim. But Rabbi Ami permitted one to have bia on Shabbos. Amri the Rabbanan v'haluk tibak tubata. So the Chamim said, in other words, there was a case maybe that came before Rabbi Ami. He said, you can have bia, but he said, in this case, there's no ksuba that's written. So so he says, Amar Luhu, I pursue a metaltalin, sees metaltalin on her behalf to be used for the ksuba. So first is the halacha, but first the issues that come up. So part of it is, how can I seize property for somebody on Shabbos that's making a kinyan for the person on Shabbos? So some want to say that it's b'makom mitzvah, it's permissible. I saw this in the Masipta Gemara. Others want to say that right before Shabbos, he was talking about, they didn't have time to write the ksuba, and nevertheless, but they're seizing it before Shabbos. Or you could say they're seizing, not making a kinyan gamur on it. And this is a lach l'maisa, because sometimes, there are problems with the person's ksuba, and they come to rabbis, and then they don't have enough time to write the ksuba, whatever. So you one eitzah, you say to the man to write a check and give it to the wife, and then that will be a stopgap measure till you write the ksuba up. But the idea is she's got access to money because, you can't stay with a woman without a ksuba. So this you want to, help the situation. Anyway, so now line four, Rav Zvid, Shari Lamival B'Tchila B'Shabbat. Rav Zvid permitted one to have bia on Shabbos the first time. Yigit Amri, Rav Zvid Gufa Baal B'Tchila B'Shabbat. Some say Rav Zvid himself had to be here for the first time on Shabbat. One second, let me let's go in. So he says here, Rabbi Yehuda shari lemival b'tchila b'yom tov. Now Rabbi Yehuda permitted one to have bia from the get-go on Yontiv. So we have to figure out, when he says on Yontiv, does it mean on Yontiv and on Shabbos, or on Yontiv and also on Shabbos? So Amar Rav Papi, Mishmei de Rava. So Rav Papi said in the name of Rava, lo tema b'yom tov d'shari ha-b'shabbat asur. Don't say that when he said you can have bia on Yontiv, but it means for the first time, don't say it means Yontiv and not Shabbos. Do it in the filu b'shabbat nami shari. You'd be allowed to have it on Shabbos also. The incident that came before him was just on Yontiv, but in Akhenami would have passed him the same thing on Shabbos. That's Rav Papi. He says, Rav Papa Shmeid Rava. So the first one is Rav Papi in the name of Rava. He says that Yontiv and Shabbos are the same. Now we have Rav Papa in the name of Shmeid Rava. Yontiv Shari B'Shabbat Asur. So Rav Papa says in the name of Rava, on Yontiv you're allowed to be for the first time, but not on Shabbos. So Amalei Rav Papi, Rav Papa, my daiti. So Rav Papi, who is the one who was matir, in other words, Rav Papi and Rav Papa both have members in the name of Rava. So it sounds like two versions of what Rava said. Rav Papi says to Rav Papa, my daiti, what's your thinking? So there's a machloket in the Gemara in Masechet Bei between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So everybody agrees that on Yantiv, Tzorech Ochel Nefesh is permissible. You're allowed to do malachot for Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. That's clear. And then there's a question, which malachot you could do. So Tosfos learns from Lash going forward, from Malachot Lash going forward. But Beit Shammai holds that's the only thing you're allowed to do, Malachot Ochel Nefesh. But Beit Hillel holds, Mitosha Hutra, the Tzorech, Hutchanami Shol, the Tzorech. Beit Hillel, who we passin like, holds that if you're allowed to do it for Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, I could do it for another Yantiv need, even if it's not Tzorech Ochel Nefesh. So let's say Mavir, I'm allowed to be Mavir to cook. I could be Mavir, let's say, to heat the room would also be good. Right, but carrying, I can carry to carry food, so I can carry my sitter to shul, whatever. That would be the way Beit Hillel holds. So now, in this version, so Rav Papi says to Rav Papa, so Rav Papa's version of Rava is, you're only allowed to make a chabura on Yantiv, you can't make it on Shabbat. So ostensibly, the logic would be that in Achinami, it's a malacha, but he's matir the malacha, I mean, and we'll see, like it'll be making a chabura. So making a chabura is connected to the malach of shochet. So since I'm allowed to shech on Yantiv Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, so I could do related malachot for this. That's l'chora, the thinking. So I'm a popular pop my diet, but Toshu Hutra Kabur the Sorech, Huchanami Shalom the Sorech. So since permissible Sorech is also Shalom the Sorech, Elamiata, Mutarso Mugmar Biyomto. Now, when he talks about Mugmar, it means burning like fragrances, incense. Now, if you look at Rashi in the 10th hour line, he says, Mugmar, Bisamimala Esh, Lagamera, Kalim Yedabagadim, burning the spices or the fragrances on the fire to give a nice fragrance to the kelim, to, I don't know, sounds like different, I don't know if he means like dishes or things like that, and begadim and garments. Now, there's a different mugmar that the Gemara mentions in Masechet Brachot, where they would burn the basamim at the end of a meal. You know, that would be like a nice part of the meal. So here Rashi doesn't explain it this way. So Rashi doesn't explain it that way here, because the Gemara is going to say that it's something that's not shabbat l'chol nefesh. In other words, in order to permit the malacha on yantiv, it has to be something that all segments of society would do. If it's a type of thing that only one segment of society would do, so you're not allowed to do it on yantiv. We'll see examples in a minute. So the Gemara says, burn this incense on yantiv to make the garments smell fragrant. Meaning that you're not allowed to do that on yantiv. So it sounds like in the Gemara that he's questioning this idea about mitok shehutra, right? So he says, how could it be that the pshat lechora in Beis Hillel? This is the way that I was thinking of one of the Rabbi Yonatan Drori. He didn't go into the whole thing, but he thought that the Gemara wasn't clear on what Beis Hillel of his far this before Beis Hillel. So how could it be mitok shehutra tzokhushlan sorech? Would anybody seek burn mukbar on yantiv? So he says no, but the pasuk says achashiyachel lechol nefesh. Anything that's eaten lechol nefesh that anybody would eat, hulu b'do yisalachem, davar hashavel lechol nefesh. So the type of malacha has to be something that all people would do. So the only people who would burn incense to make the clothes fragrant, to make the kelim fragrant, are very mefunak, very sensitive people. They would do it, but most people would not do that. So you're not allowed to do that on yantiv. So Amalei Rav Acha Berei D'Rav L'Ravashi El Miatan Is Damino Tzvi B'Yom Tov. So let's say you get a deer on yantiv. Hoil Veino Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. Now most people don't eat venison. In other words, it would be like you'd be wealthy, you'd eat the venison. So Hachan Amita Asma the Mishkatei. So you're not allowed to shech the tzvi on yantiv? Question mark. So Amalei Anad Davar Hatzorech L'Chol Nefesh Kamina. I said, in other words, everybody would love to have venison. In other words, it's expensive, but everybody would love to have it. Everybody would be equal and be good in eating it. But as far as the mugmar is concerned, people, a large segment of society wouldn't even want it at all. It's only like the very mahunak people, the very fastidious people, they would like it. So it has to be davar hashav l'chol nefesh. So be is davar hashav l'chol nefesh. And mamela, so within the shita of Rav Papa, you could say the Rav Papa holds, that Rava holds, that in Achinami it's a malacha, and the malacha would be Chovel, but Chovel is, you know, connected to Shkita, so mito shehutra l'torach, v'chinami shlo l'torach on yantiv. But on Shabbat, you're not allowed to do it in that version of Rav Papa, the name of Rava. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? What's up, Rafi? Right. Yeah, it's similar to what David asked the other day. So I could say the same thing. Now I have the answer. David's got the answer too. Yosef's got the answer too. So in order to first of all, it's a question what the Kiyum Mitzvah is. It may not be the Kiyum Mitzvah is the Bia. Kiyum Mitzvah could be when you have the child is the Kiyum Mitzvah. But even assuming all arguments in your favor, but it's Eseh Zdocha Lotasa, it's not Docha and Eseh Ana Lotasa. So Shabbos and Yantav are an essay and a lota essay. So an essay can't be doche. Okay? All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Who think? No. So, no. Wait. So, no. So it means like that. Let's assume there's no Eruv. We have an Eruv. But if there's no Eruv, I can only carry those things that I need for Yantav. So if I don't need the thing for yantiv, then in Achinami it's well, whatever is doing, it could be other things as well. But in addition to everything else, it would be malacha on yantiv. Yeah, but let's see if it could be it would be right. But in other words, if I'm carrying it and I don't need it for tzorach yantiv, then it's a malacha on yantiv. Then I'm not allowed to do it. It might be Hakana as well, but I'm saying but Hakana, you know, might be a dinter rabbanan. This would be like a dinter raisa, you know. Yeah, carrying on yantiv. So
doesn't matter. It's not allowed Hakana on Shabbat, like for Brit Milah they allow you to come and make the knife and do, right?
Wait, I'm losing it. So give me the case again. Give me the whole fact pattern.
Brit Milah on Yom Shabbat. There are those who say only the Brit Milah is allowed.
Right.
Some say also the Hafana is allowed. You can come and make your fire.
You're talking about Reb Lezer and the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. So Reb Lezer says you could do the Machshirei Milah you could do on Shabbat is what he says. The Machshirei Milah I could do on Shabbos.
Hafana.
You're using it differently than he's using it, okay? When he's using hachana, he means mechin mi Shabbos l'chol, mi yantav l'chol. You're using hachana, the same word, but you're doing the mitzvah, hachana for the mitzvah. I need to do the mitzvah, I need to make hachana. You gotta keep everything, tight, okay? Okay, let's, what's up? Everything good? Good? Okay, let's be back in the Gemara. Okay, now, the Gemara says we're around eight lines above where it gets wide on Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Ho Rabbi Yochanan B'tzaidon, like we said, Sidon in modern Hebrew, like you know, it's in Lebanon. He says, Asur Levov B'Tfilah B'Shabbat. Yochanan Min Horah that you're not allowed to have bia with a woman for the first time on Shabbat. Rabbi Yochanan. It's interesting. Rabbi Yochanan, I think, not just here. I think he's frequently in Sidon or Sidon. He says, Umika Horah LeEaster. So the Gemara asks, is it appropriate to use the term Horah by an Isur? Let's look at Rashi around the 15th narrow line. Rashi, Mikar Hora is like a ruling. Mikar Hora le Isur, Mikari Isur Hora. Do I call like not doing something a Hora? Mishum Dechol Adam Rashi Lachmir. Everybody can be Machmir. Everybody can be stringent. But Oser, he says Smicha Devarim. He says, in other words, if I'm Oser, that doesn't mean that you know that I'm like necessarily relying on some ruling. Even if it's a safek and I don't know which way it is, I'll like to be on the safe side, I won't do it, that type of thing. But if I permit something, there I have to rely on you know what I heard, or the shmur might be the ruling, or while svar chachmato, or his own svara, that's a hora. So I don't know if he means svar chachma to his own chachma or the chachma from his rebbe. But anyway, the point that the Gemara is saying is that Rabbi Yochanan made a hora that you're not allowed to be a for the first time in Shabbat. Is that really a hora? So six lines above where it gets white. Umik hora le Easter. Do we ever use the word hora by an Easter by a prohibition? So the Gemara says, "Yeah, we do use it." Batnan, we learn the Mishnah in Second Nazir. Horua beit Hillel shein zero od sheva shenim acharot. So this is talking about. We'll read and see in Rashi a minute. It's talking about Heleni Hamalka, that she made a neder that if her son came back safely from the war, she would be a Nazira. I don't think we often think of women as being Nazira, but a man could be a Nazira, a woman could be a Nazira. Anyway, I guess it doesn't show quite as much with the women, they grow their hair long. Anyway, she made a Nazira. So she was outside of Eretz Israel when she took the neder, and the son came back safely from the war, and she observed 7 years of Naziras, but what? I don't know. She had children. I don't know if she was married at that time. But the, you know, we had Helene Malka in the Gemara Masechta Sukkah. Anyway, so but the thing is that the Chachamim were goes to Tumal Eretz Amim. Chachamim said that you know outside of Eretz Israel, you have to assume that all the land is Tame. So she was a Nazira, but she's violating the terms of Nazira. So the Chachamim ruled that she has to do another 7 years when she got back to Eretz Israel. Let's just look at the Rashi, 10 lines from the bottom. Haru Beit Hillel. So Mishnah he the Masechet Nazir, Belenia Malka, she had Sabin al Milchama, that her son went off to war, Benadra Shev Shanim Benazir, and she took a neder to be a Nazir for 7 years. Now we have a Chutzla Aretz, but on the side he says, Umanta Bechutzla Aretz, Valtala Aretz, the Marshal corrects Rashi. So she did 7 years in Naziris and Chutzla Aretz, then she came to Eretz Israel. So Ben Hillel made a ruling that she should do another 7 years. Let's see back on the Gemara. But the point being that the Mishnah uses the term horua, even though it's basically an isur. He says, V'inami, 4 lines from the word above where it gets wide on Zayin Amud Aleph, V'inami ki hadatani. Or I could say, look, we have another case in Brisa. It's talking about what's trefus. We know that there are 18 different trefus, right? And the Rambam's, you know, divides it up into 70 categories. I think it's 18 trefus, right? So he says, the Kiyat Tanya, Chura Shidra Shnifsap Rubo Diver Rebbe. Rebbe says if the Chura Shidra is the spinal cord of an animal, is mostly divided, that's the trapus. He says, Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabbi Yaakov says, even if it just has a puncture, that's a trapha. So he means, by which shech that animal, the animal is trapha. Then the Tan of the Brisa says, Hora Rebbe to Rabbi Yaakov, that Rebbe, a case came before Rebbe, and Rebbe was machmir like Rabbi Yaakov. In other words, Rebbe's position is more lenient, but he didn't want to rule the way he said, so he ruled like Rabbi Yaakov. So a case came before Rebbe, and he was ruled, but it says, Hora Rebbe to Rabbi Yaakov. So I see a case of Isur, and it's using the term Hora. All right, Amar Rav Huna ain't alacha k'Rav Yaakov. So it's Agav Orcha, Rav Huna says alacha does not follow Rav Yaakov, even though Rebbe was machmir in that case, alacha follows Rebbe. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Matni Hachi, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak learns that the went this way. Amar Bivah Shaal Rebbe Shmuel ben Yaakov ben Sor and Rabbi Yochanan ben Sidon, that Rabbi Abahu asked Rabbi Shmuel from Sor. Yeah, I didn't say right. That Rabbi Bau said that Rabbi Shmuel ben Yaakov from Tzor asked Rabbi Yaakov at Sidon. It's interesting, today those places are all in Lebanon. But he says here, Ba'anash Shemai, and I overheard it. Rabbi Bau is saying, I overheard the question. He says, Asur. Okay, so now the Gemara says, V'hilchata mutar levo b'chil b'shabbat. So the Gemara doesn't always do this, but here it comes to a conclusion that you're allowed to have bia with your woman on Shabbos. Let's see, we did this post already. Let's do it again in the bottom line. Now, Tosa says, in addition to all the malachot that we had, remember, first is a question, am I doing a malacha on Shabbos by having bia with the woman? But aside from that, it was also a question the Gemara brought out, which would be Gzerah Rabbanan, Shemi Yishchot Ben Of, that if I permit him to have, you know, bia either on a Friday night or a Motzei Shabbat, remember we had the Brisa, so then maybe, you know, presumably the wedding is going to take place on Friday afternoon or Motzei Shabbat, so he's going to concern a little Shech to Ben Of, and they'll do Malacha. So Tosfos will Shechin Lo Keshit Shemi Yishchot Ben Of, Yahasam Kin Limavad Suda B'Shabbat. This we rely that we would make a banquet, it means like a marriage banquet on Shabbos. And I mentioned that, at least for the Ashkenazi Jews, I don't know when the term Balei Tosfos, but it sounds that way, that they would, you know, wait the wedding late Friday afternoon, and then the meal would be Friday night, because that's when they had some food. Now, there's another issue, which the art school brought up, which I want to go over. This is in footnote 14. So when we say that you can have bia on Shabbat, it's not clear. So it could be, remember, Rav held, like Rabbi Yehuda, Rav held that Davar Shein Mekavin is Asur. But notwithstanding that, Rav, according to the first version, held that bia with your wife is permissible for the first time in Shabbat. Why? Davar Shein Mekavin is Asur. So Rav held that the malacha would be Mekalkel. So Mekalkel is permissible. So that was one mala. But there's another mala. We said, I could say, it's going like Reb Shimon, well, it's a Davar Shein Mekavin is Mutar. And why is Davar Shein Mekavin? Because the person, it's talking about people who know how to, you know, have bia and go at an angle and not perforate the hymen. But today, nobody knows how to do that. So then if I say that's the malach, then you're not allowed to have bia with the betula on Shabbat. So the machaber actually, Yosef, can you do me a favor? I'm sorry to bother you. I need to say, look, Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah.
Yeah, it's possible to have bia for somebody who's a virgin, not have blood. Is it bloodless?
One second. You know what? I'm sorry. Can you give me the blue, the Dershu Mishnah Berurah? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
To say that maybe the blood.
Okay, thank you.
It's covered up. Okay. But if you,
is that Gimel? Okay, good work. All right. One second. Okay, let's just take a look what the Machaber says, and then we'll get to hear from everybody. Okay, one second. Let me find the scene in the Shulchan Aruch. One second. Okay, everybody listening? Okay, we're in Orach Chaim, Siman Reish Pei. So the Machaber says, first he says, Tashmish Amita Mitanu Ge Shabbat Hu. This is one of the pleasures of Shabbos. Lepichach Ona Tamid Chamim Abriim Milel Shabbat Lelel Shabbat. Everybody has an Ona, and the Ona for Tamid Chamim is from Friday night to Friday night. Then, in Sipeis, he says, Mutar Lebolach Achila Betula B'Shabbat. You're allowed to have you with the Betula on Shabbat. Ve'ein Bo Mishim Kovel V'lo Mishim Tzar La. It's not considered Kovel, not considered Tzar. But, there's always a but. The Mishnah Berurah says, some say if the minhag makom must be machmir, you shouldn't be mekil. But the Taz writes, Rirushmati Shahasidim Goni Haolam, it was Meheter Bazel, King Hashash Homer Bazeklal. But Machin what mean? Okay, but then he says, all right. Okay, anyway, he's getting some more dinim. But anyway, but the Arsul says, but what?
Some Machmir in their place. He's,
right, he said that if one second, he said that if one second, look at the. One second. Give me one second. Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah says, he says, some say, some say if the minhag machmir is being machmir, you just shouldn't say, no, it's okay. In other words, let them be machmir. He says, but the Taz writes, Khalilah sod Isur Brazil. The Taz writes, Khalilah, we should declare an Isur with this. But the article brings down that in Achinami, there is a, there's a question about this. He says, anyway.
So the place that have a minhag to be machmir and it says Khalilah, correct?
Right.
Obviously, if you don't have a minhag, don't go to machmir.
Okay, anyway, so there's something that the Mephorshim talk about. Okay, so who's your question, Thomas? So what do we got? So from that Gemara, it sounds like certainly not. Right. Well, you could declare it, but then you'd be in violation of it from the get-go. Right, you need to go to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, the only thing, it's an issue like how are Kohanim allowed to be with us this one? Is that Kohanim not to be with Tama either? We have no Kozlaris. So I'm saying whatever you're going to say for Kohanim, maybe you could say for the Nazir. Okay, so what?
What's the
Kohanim? I don't know. Okay, what's up? Okay, Rafi, then you. What? What? Yeah. Bahataya. No. Yeah. No. So it means right. It means that like they're ejaculating outside the woman. Here you're not doing it that way. Okay. What else was around here?
Isn't there such a reality that even though somebody was a betula, the possibility not to have blood? If that's the case, we're back to the psych ratio. It's not going to happen 100%.
Wait. I don't sin. Say slowly, go.
A person who is a betula.
A woman, right.
The first time.
Right.
It's a possibility not to have blood.
According to the Gemara, if you do Bahataya.
Even without Hataya.
All right.
It depends on the physiology of the woman. Based on that, what we said yesterday, that if we accept that it's only 100%, if it's not going to be 100%.
No. First of all, you're the one with 100% versus the like 99.9%. Right, and I don't know about the 99% with Davar Shana with Kavain, but the.
Can we hear the question?
Okay, Ruth.
Look into that.
All right.
But assume that is true.
All right. Dan was saying that since there's like a 0.0001% that a person could have relations and there's no Dan Betulim. So he wanted to say that it should be a dab arshin was kavim for us.
All right,
we need to go on. Okay, no.
I know.
All right. 1 minute. Okay, Ruth. Daniel was asking that one part of the idea with Bia is it's a davar shein mitkami. You don't intend necessarily. In other words, you may or may not cause blood to come out. So the Gemara said that's based on the idea that the man could do hataya at an angle. So he said today people don't know how to do that. So it's not a davar shein mitkami. So Daniel said it could still be. You know, because in a rare instance, there's no dam betulim, it could still be dam arshin with kavim. Okay, what's up? Yeah, so it means, but you wouldn't be chayav. In other words, first of all, let's go back. So Soter, that sounds like it could be the malacha of Soter. That gufa is the malacha of Soter, if you destroy something. If it's Soter, I'm not, please. If it's Soter, I'm not with note. If it's Soter, I'm not with note, that gufa is the malacha. But assuming that it would not be Amanat Livnot, so Inachinami would not be Chayev. I don't know if you wouldn't have a heter to do it. Here, though, I guess there are other elements that come into play with this, okay? All right. In other words, what? Okay, we went through this. I said there's different opinions. So the Machaber, I said, says it's permissible. And then the Mishabura brought down that some places are Machmir and do not permit it. And we went through this far as for it. We've got to move on. Okay, now let's take a look on the third wide line on Zayin Amin Aleph. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Amar Rav, Achat Betula B'Achat Almana, Tuna Bracha. Let me make sure you're right. So now we're getting into the issue of Sheva Brachot. As you know, at an Isuin, we recite Sheva Brachot and Kala below bracha is through the Baal of Kanida. A Kala without the Sheva Brachot is prohibited on her husband like Anita. So we don't understand each line. We must be patient. So he says, so Rav says, Achat Petula b'achat almana tuna bracha, that whether the bride is a petula or she's an almana, she requires a bracha. And a bracha means birchat chatanim, which is the Sheva Brachot. Umiyama Rav Huna hachi, did Rav Huna. So Rav Huna was quoting Rav Abba Zav, the name of Rav. So did he say that everybody gets Sheva Brachot? Umiyama Rav Huna hachi, v'amar Rav Huna almana ina tuna bracha. Rav Huna said an almana doesn't require a bracha. So we have a steer. Right? On one statement, albeit the name of Rav, he says they both require bracha. He says it doesn't require bracha. So the Gemara says, look, kasha. There's no contradiction between the two statements. Tan b'bachur shnas almana, that the, if it's a, and when he says almana is chayav in Sheva Brachot, he means that you have a bachur that married an almana. In other words, somebody who had never been married and married the almana. Then you have Sheva Brachot. We says there's no Sheva Brachot. If they were both previously married, then there's no Sheva Brachot. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, the Almon Shna Salmana lo, I mean, if an Almon marries an Almana, there's no Sheva Brachot. But Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Amar li Huna Bar Natan, that Huna Bar Natan said to me, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Minayin Labirchat Katanim Ba Asara. How do we know that Sheva Brachot, you need a minion for Sheva Brachot? Shnei Amar, so it says at the end of Megillat Rut that Boaz is going to marry Rut. He's going to do what they called Geula. You know, in the time of the Shoftim, they had something called Geula, where a family relative is the Yibum is like only the, you know, the brother marries her, but a family relative would marry her. So he gathers 10 people and by Yeshevu, and then the Navi goes on to say that they give this whole bracha to her, Yibetcha, you know, Kibet. Of the Pesukim and you have children and Brachot, and the Gemara takes it that it's like Sheva Brachot that they were doing, and they had a minion. Uboaz Almon Shnas Almana Hava. Boaz was an Almon that married Almana. So Rashi brings down 6 lines from the bottom. Boaz Almon Hava, the Amar Mar, Ibsan to Boaz. Ibsan is one of the Shoftim, and that's the same as Boaz. Ukvara Yulo Shoshim Bani Mushishim Bano Babatra. So he was very prolific. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. Right, 60 kids already in Masechet Baba Batra. So the Gemara says, "Uboaz almon shnas almana haba." Now, from Rashi, it sounds like that when it uses almon, it doesn't have to be necessarily a widower, but even somebody who's been married before. Although the article said that in Achinami they proved, or from a medrash, whatever, that his first wife died. I don't know, like right before he married Ruth. So he says, so the bottom line is that even if almon marries an almana, you do have a sheva bracha. So how do we reconcile it? So my ina tuna bracha, the Amar of Huna. So the Gemara revises on this thing. When Rav Huna says that there's no bracha, what did he mean? Ain't a tuna bracha kol sheva. That you don't have your sheva bracha for 7 days. About yom echad tuna bracha. We do have 1 day of sheva bracha. Okay, let's go slowly with this. One second. So the way the Gemara is headed, it was the way the Gemara is going to take it. If either one was never married before, then you're going to have 7 days. But if it's an almon that marries an almana, then it's going to be 1 day for Sheva Brachot. What's the question? Yeah, was she an almana? In other words, the Gemara takes it when an almon marries an almana, it's not as big as Simcha. She's not a betula. It doesn't, in other words, it, It doesn't matter if she never had shit. First of all, Mafarshim say that Rut converted before she married, Machlon, Machilion, whoever won, Machlon or whatever, said that she did a conversion before she married Machlon, and then she did another conversion, according to the Bach, when she got to Eretz Israel, to be more Machmir. But even assuming the way you want to argue, the key is she's not a Betula. In other words, if a woman is not a Betula, for whatever reason, and he's not a Bachur, he's in other words, if he had sex and she had sex, then it's one day Sheva Brachot, okay? That's what the Gemara is saying. I can't be clearer than that, okay? All right, now. All right, what can I tell you? What can I tell you? That's what you need. Okay, you do need Sheva Brachot. You do need Sheva Brachot, okay? Right. Okay, now, all right, let's just take a look. Okay, let's all focus. Now, so he says, okay, so that's the first Yisod with the Sheva Brachot. So now the Gemara says, okay, four lines to the bottom. Please let us, time for questions ended. So wait 5 minutes and we'll get you, okay? So Elahad Tanya. So the Gemara says, but we learn in another Braisa, which we had, Shaktu Chachamim al Takanat Banot Yisrael. The Chachamim were diligent for the Jewish women, concerned for them. Remember, we said that an almana is Niseit Liyom Chamishi. And why does she have to get married on a Thursday? Because they're worried that otherwise he's going to scram after one day. But if he's Yom Chamishi, so we'll have Bia with her on Leil Shishi, and then out of love of the Bia, he'll stick around, and then Shabbos will stick around. So we'll be with her for 3 days. So they're concerned that he should be with her for 3 days. So he says, so Bamai, so what are we talking about when we say that we're concerned that the husband should be around with her? Iba Bachur Hamrit Shiva. If he's a Bachur, he was never married before. So it's Shiva Simei, for the Sheva Brachot, 7 days. Iba Almon, if the groom is an Almon, he says, Ha'amar Yom Echad, 1 day. So what's with 3 days? Where does 3 days come into this whole thing? So Iba Ideima Ba'almon Yom Echad the Bracho, social semper. So the first answer the Gemara has, it could be for an Almon. It means if an Almon marries an Almana, so it's 1 day for Sheva Brachot, but for Simcha, 3 days. In other words, in Akanami, there's a mitzvah for them to be Mismeah for 3 days. And this, you know, most significantly impacts us with Tachanun. In other words, so if you have an Almon marries an Almana, and then, you know, he comes to Shul, so then no Tachanun, right? For three days. Then he says, or in the alternative, I could say, Bachur Shiva the Bracha Ushlosha the Simcha. If a Bachur means an unmarried man, the Gemara thinks, marries an Almana, so in Achinami you have 7 days of Sheva Brachot, but for Simcha only 3 days. That's one who came to the Gemara thinks this way. Okay, let's go slowly with this, and then we'll take a lot of mice and we'll talk some things out. One second, let me get some shit out. One minute. This we got. All right, so halakha l'maisa, it's important, you know, sometimes you lose the forest from the trees with these gemaras. So let's focus on one thing at a time. So the main thing is, if either he's a bachur or she's a betula, either one, so Sheva Brachot for 7 days. If neither one was a virgin, then 1 day. That's the first you sow. Now, with 1 day, there's a question what 1 day means. Some say 1 day just means under the chuppah. Some say 1 day means the whole 24 hours with the 1 day. That's the first yisod. Then, next yisod is, how many days of simcha are they supposed to celebrate? So, the mainstream thinking, and they have a chart for this in the art scroll on page 784. So, the main way of thinking is, if either one, if it's a betula, it's always 7 days. If a tula is involved, well, no matter who she marries, that's a big simcha. So it's 7 days. But if it's an almana, then 3 days. 3 days of simcha. In other words, so it's going totally with the woman. So if she's a betula, 7 days. An almana, 3 days. That's the 1 minute. 1 minute. Let's be patient. Almost there, Daniel. Almost there. Almost there. 1 minute. Almost there. Now, some Rishonim say that if a Bachur marries an Almana, in Achinami it's 7 days. But the simple pshat is 3 days if it's an Almana for Simcha. All right? Now, Let me say some other things with this. One second. All right, this we're going to do. Okay, so what do you want to say, Daniel?
You mean it's the virgin, or you mean she was not previously married?
Virgin. Nowadays, virgin. Okay, now.
Are we going by that? Nowadays, many people are getting married or not.
Right, so that's a big question. In other words, let's say the bachelor and the betula and the girl have been living together in their apartment for a year, and now they decide to get married with the rabbi. So how many days of Sheva Bracha do they have?
Some say that he's the one who caused them not to go to Rabbi Shabbastan.
Okay, anyway, so we saw what's the din in the Gemara? One day. But there's a Rabbi Mordechai Chavahari, he learns the base matter, he teaches here, he helps out in the, I think in Shari Rachamim at night, right? So he actually wrote a book on, Birkat Rivka, his wife's name is Rivka, so he wrote a book, Birkat Rivka, so he's showing in his book, he has a footnote, I didn't look up the truest, but there's a true from Moshe Sternbach. Moshe Sternbach says that you could say the Sheva Bracha, he wants to say, like, you see from the Sota, so Hashem says, my name, that was written by Kedusha, to be Nimchak, because to make Shalom Bein Ish to Ishto. So he says that, Rav Sternbach says, in the same way, like, you know, we don't like sort of parshter the Simcha, so you could make the Sheva Bracha. But the only thing I have a question about this is, you see, that limit in the Gemara is to make Shalom between man and his wife. Here, the man and his wife, they both know that neither one is a virgin. In other words, that they've been living with each other for, So what shalom are we making between the man and his wife? That's the thing. But that's a little different than shalom bein ish l'ishto. It's slightly different, but that's what Moshe Sternbach says. That's what Moshe says. In a case like this, he knows about it, and so you could write it in the ksuba betulta. Even the rabbi doesn't know about it, because as long as they know about it, Moshe says it's okay. Okay, who's got other questions, comments, or thoughts?
I think.
Wait. Aaron Moshe, Yosef here first. A Bachur and Almana, so it gets 3 days. 3 days of Simcha. But some say seven. It's Machloket Rishonim, but Sheva Bracha definitely seven. Okay? So the Nafkamina, it's a little awkward. The Nafkamina would be like, again, for Tachanun, if the Bachur walks into Shul, do I hold off a Tachanun? But today, people are so eager not to say Tachanun, you know, they look for everything. You know, it's interesting, the Mishnah Berurah says, I don't want to make you get up again, but the Mishnah Berurah says, okay, Chelek Beis and Mishnah Berurah, thank you so much. Chelek Beis, thank you so much. All right, 1 second, I'll get to you in 1 minute, Aaron Moshe. Okay, and then we got to run. Okay, thank you so much. So, no, kind of things. You give me gimel back. You give me the same volume back that you took. Oh, okay. Here you go. All right. Somebody's making noise. Okay. Listen. Somebody needs to mute themselves, and I'm going to help you. All right. Help it with the other plane. Yeah. So the Mishmer says, he goes through the Dina. We're running late on time, so I got to scram. The Mishmer says it's not appropriate for the Chassan to go to the same place each day, because he's going to disturb all the davening by losing Tachman. Today, he quotes here, the Chazon Ish says you don't have to hold back to coming back to the shul. But I say today, like, the Chazon is popular because he's not going to the shul. Right. Tachanun. Right. But.
They didn't make a rule. It was at least 2 days ago that before
Rav. All right. I have to move on. Okay, I got to move. Okay. We're on an Amud basis, and we're running out of time, so I have to. There's a lot I want to do, and I have to go forward. Okay. So on Zion Amud basis, the top line. Hold off questions, then we'll if we have time, we'll do. So Meifei. So on this, we ask Akasha from the following Brisa. The Brisa says Mevarchin lebetula Shiva ulamana yom echad. So the Brisa says that you make a bracha for 2 of 7 days, Ramana 1 day. my love, afilu almana, shenisit lebachur. So we said if the bachur marries an almana, you have 7 days of sheva bracho. But this brisa seems to say that the Gemara assumes that if you have a betula, it's always 7 days, it's almana always 1 day. That's the only thing the brisa mentions. So it seems to be similar to what we said. Lo, la almon. So the Gemara says, no, it means if an almon marries an almana, then it's 1 day. Aval the bachur mai, so if the bachur marries an almana, what? Shiva. Hi hafi, litany, if that's the case, the Tana the brisa should spell everything out. Mevarchin lebetula shiva, ulamana shnisi lebachur shiva, that if there's a betula involved, 7 days. A bachur marries a betula also 7 days for a sheva brachot, ulamana yom echad. And if it's an almana, means an almon. With an almana, then it's 1 day. So the Gemara says, Milta Psikta Katani. He says that the Tana wants to teach absolute dinim that aren't subject to qualifications. Leka Betula Debatsra Mishiva. In other words, the Tana teaches me you never have a case with a Betula that is less than 7 days of Shiva Simei with a Bracha. But Leka Almana Debatsra Miyomachad. And there's no almana that's less than 1 day. But in Achinami, with the almana, there is a scenario where she marries a Bachur, in which case it would be 7 days of brachot. But the Tana wants to say, milt the psika. In other words, things that are absolutely true. So if it's a betula, in all cases, he's going to have 7 days. It's an almana, in all cases, you'll have at least 1 day, but there is a scenario where you'd have 7 days. You know, Aaron Moshe, I'm so sorry. Where is he? Wait, I lost him. Okay. Okay, Aaron Moshe, I'm sorry. I didn't get back to you. I'll try to get back to you in a little bit. You were very patient. Just okay, give me a minute. Okay, so line 6. Okay, I'm sorry. Hold off. Okay, Gufa, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar li Huna Bar Natan. So Rav Nachman says that Huna Bar Natan said to me, Tana, we learned in Braisa, Minayin lebircha katanim ba'asara. Where do we know that for Sheva Brachot, I need a minion? He says, Shenemar, by kacha saran Hashim yizikne ha'ir, he took 10 people, again with Boaz, we went through this a few moments ago, yizikne ha'ir, it means he took chachamim, talmidei chachamim, Zikanim is Zesh Kanachachma, by Yomer Shvupo, and he says, sit here, and then they give a bracha. So the Gemara takes it, that's Sheva Bracha. It's an asmachta. In other words, it's a remiss from the Pesukim for Sheva Bracha. It says, Rabbi Abau Amar Mehacha. Rabbi Abau says a different source. It says in Tehillim, the Machilot Barchu Elokim Hashemi Makor Yisrael. In the large gatherings, they bless God, Shemi Makor Yisrael. So the Pshuto Shemekra means, like the Jewish descendants blessed Hashem, the Kor Yisrael will be descendants. But the drasha is Mekor Yisrael means things that bracha that relates to the makor. The makor is the womb. So it's bracha relates to the womb. It's so machilot is a minion, kahal is a minion, and Rashi goes through it. Look at the second, third line Rashi. B'machilot brachu elokim Hashem Mekor Yisrael. A birkat makor tzriyah kahal. For the bracha for makor is the womb. You need a kahal. V'hainu asara kamo hakel and haidah. We just had this last week's Parsha Shavua. There's always connections with Daf Yomi. Hakel and Eida, get the whole Eida together. Bein Hakel pachot mi Eida. You can't have Hakel if it's less than an Eida. Veida Asara, Eida is 10. K'dalpina mi Adat Meraglim, Amaitalara Yatsu Yoshu B'Kalev. So by the Meraglim was 10 people. So back in the Gemara. So for Rav Nachman, so each one has a Pasuk. So Rav Nachman has a Pasuk and Rabbi Bawa. Rav Nachman's Pasuk is by Bawaz and Rabbi Bawa's Pasuk is in Tehillim. Rav Nachman, Bahai Krad Rivel Mai Darishbe. What does Rav Nachman do with Rabbi Bawa's Pasuk? Because Rav Nachman learns it from Bawa's. What does he do with the Pasuk and Tehillim? Mibai Leil Tani, it needs it for that which we learn in the Braisa. Hayah Rabbi Meir Omer, Minayin Shafil Ubarim Shmei Iman Amru Shir Alayam. How do we know that even Ubarim, fetuses that were in the womb, recited Shira by Yamsuf? He says, "Shneamar b'machilot baruchu Elokim Hashem mimakor Yisrael." The machilot they bless Hashem mimakor Yisrael, meaning he's learning that those that were in the makor, those that were in utero, blessed Hashem mimakor Yisrael. So he says, and I think the Gemara learns in the Pesachim. The Gemara has a whole sugi about this. It says, "Zekeli b'anveil," that even the ubarim pointed, to whatever they were seeing. He says, "V'idach," so it means Rabbi Bau would respond to that. If it's talking about Yamsuf, and the only connection with Yamsuf is this Pasuk is in a Perek and Tehillim that relates about Yitzis Mitzrayim and things like that. There's nothing in the Pasuk per se that relates to Yamsuf. The Edach where Rabbi Bau would say, no, it's not coming for that. Imkein Lemekrami Beten. If it's talking about fetuses that are in utero, so Alpi, I don't know, in Hebrew, it's Mi Beten. Like, remember, it says, Shnei Tomim Bevitna. when you have fetuses in the womb, you refer to beten. So if that would be, what are we talking about? My name is Coral, this came out for. So he says, no, it's talking about things that relate to the womb, but it's not the fetuses, which is the, he says it's the Sheva Brachot. Rabbi Abahu, Baha'i Kraz, Rav Nachman, my Darish Bey. What does Rabbi Abahu do with Rav Nachman's Pasuk, which says about Boaz? Ahumi Baile the Medrash, Amoni Velo Amoni, Moavi Velo Moavi. So he says what Boaz was doing is he was declaring in front of these 10 Zakenim that the halacha is that a Moavi can't come Bakal, but a Moavit, like Rut, couldn't come Bakal. She can marry, we discussed this already in Ibamot, she can marry in the Kaho. The Isak Adaitat Lebracha, if you assume, like you Rav Nachman, want to say that it's just the teaching within a Sheva Brachot, Lo Sagi Lab Zakenim, so why does he have to have 10 Zakenim? Take anybody, I just need a minion. Why does he say he's taking 10 Zakenim for the Sheva Brachot? He says, so he's taking the 10 Zakenim because he wants to be, we'll see in a minute. The Irach, Isak Adaitat Lebracha, Lo Sagi Lab Asara. So the other one says, so he says, I need Tamid Chamim, because I wanted like the farsim in front of the Tamid HaChamim, this is the halacha. So the other one would say, what, do I need 10? Do I need 10 to be mefarsim halacha? In the Pursumi Milta, the Amr Shmuel Rav Chana Bagdatah, like Shmuel said to Rav Chana Bagdatah, Pukva Aitili Be'asara, go gather 10 people, Ve'im Alachban Paihu, and I'll say in their presence a halacha, a mezaka l'ubar kana, that a person can be mezaka to an ubar. In other words, I can give, let's say, a book to Yosef and say, be mezaka on behalf of this fetus that's in utero. In other words, that a fetus has right to ownership. Anyway, the bottom line is we have two psukim to support the idea of Sheva Brachot. One is by Boaz, and the other is by Perek and Tehillim. Yeah, I'll mention something. You know, I mentioned that Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, he was the Rosh Hashiva of Alei Torah and Baranowitz. So he came to America for like a year and a half, in November of 37 till the spring of 39. So when he was here, he gave an interview with somebody from one of the Yiddish newspapers, and the person didn't report correctly. And I think they didn't want to like permit him to like publish a rebuttal or whatever. So on one Friday afternoon, he was, I think, in Williamsburg, the way I read, he gathered, like he asked somebody to get 10 people together. And he said in front of the 10 people, this is not true. This is what took place. This is what I said. And this is what I didn't say. And that's the whole zach with that. Okay, I'm very late for time. Let me just do a little more, and we'll see how we do at the end, okay? So let's see back in the Gemara. But this is the nicest or a nice part of the Masech that we're coming up to about Sheva Brachot. So Tana Rabbanan, Bevarchan Birchat Chatanim, Beveit Chatanim. So we make Birchat Chatanim is the Sheva Brachot, Beveit Chatanim. Beveit Chatanim means, could be where the chasen is. So in other words, where it could be where he's going to reside for the week. But the way we assume it's where the chuppah takes place, we're going to do the birchat chatanim. Now, some want to say that you can only make the birchat chatanim in the place where the chuppah takes place. So we don't follow that idea. But we hold that wherever the chasen is, you could say the Sheva Brachot during that week. 1 minute. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Apavit Asurim Mevarachin Oto. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that you can then Bisman Chazal would break apart Erusin and Nisun. We do it all together. So, but Rabbi Yehuda says, even after Erusin, I can have the Birchas Chatan and the Sheva Brachot. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye. So Abaye is going to say there's really no machloket between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Yehuda Shanu. When Rabbi Yehuda says you could do it B'beit Erusin, he means in Yehuda. He says, in Yehuda, so the man would do yichud with his wife ahead of time. The Gemara is going to have it later on, Daf Yud-Beis, which is next week. Look at Rashi around the 10th narrow line from the top. So he feels comfortable with her. He says, "Kid l'kama." In other words, they were afraid that like he wouldn't feel like comfortable enough with her after the nisuin. So they do yichud with them together, but they do erusin. So they do yichud with her, and then so he says, I'm sorry, I didn't read the wrong thing. He says, So it says in Masechet Kala, this one of the small Masechet Ketanot that we have, it's after Masechet Avodah Zarah in typical Shas. So it says that Kala below bracha through the Baal of Kenita. A Kala without a bracha is prohibited to her husband like Kenita. So back in the Gemara, he says, so it means that there's really no machloket. The Tana Kama holds, in most cases, they chatan, and Rabbi Yehuda holds in Yehuda. So even after the Erusin, you would do it. Now, Tani Idach, we learn another brisa, Mevarchim Birchat Chatanim Beit Chatanim, Birchat Erusin Beit Erusin. So we do Birchat Chatanim Beit Chatanim, and Birchat Erusin Beit Erusin. So the Gemara says, Birchat Ha'erusin Mayim Mubarak. What's Birchat Ha'erusin? So again, so now the Gemara is going to like divvy up the bracha. We know that under the chuppah, I'm sure you will remember, right? There's two brachot that typically the rabbi makes before the Erusin, makes the Borei Pri Gafen, and then we'll see the second bracha. That's Birchat Erusin. And then after that, afterwards, we do the Sheva brachot, okay? So he says, Mayim Mubarak, Ravin Barabada, Rabba Barabada, Travayim Mishmein, Rabbi Yehuda Amri, Ruchat Hashem Otin Mekolam Shitam Tzvishvanu Al HaRayot, Garsalanu Nara Rusot, Behitra Lanu Nesuot, we Ashkenazim had the word Lanu, and Nesuot Lanu. So one of the Farshim, I think they quote Rabbeinu Tam, because we had Lanu, because people shouldn't think that if she's Nesuot, I can even have relations with her. It means Nesuot Lanu, you have to be married, the one's married to you. Alidei Chupa V'Kiddushin, and a well-known question is, why is it mentioned Chupa before the Kiddushin? He says, Rav Acha, Berei the Rabba, Masayim Ba, Mishmei the Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Acha, son of Rava, would conclude in the name of Rav Yehuda, Baruchat Hashem, Akadish Yisrael, Adei Chupa V'Kiddushin. So the question, is there a Chatimus Bracha by the Birchas Erusin? So Mandel Chatim, Midi Daha, V'Birchat Peiro, V'Birchat Mitzvah. The one who says there is no Chatima, so he analogizes it to Birchat Peiro, Birchat Mitzvah. Birchat Peiro is Borei Priya Eis. Birchat Mitzvah, Shishtam Stivanu, Likbo Mezuzah. So it means you have one theme. So when one theme is mentioned, so I just leave it. That's the way I go with it. He says, Uman de Chatim, the one who says, no, I need a Chatimus Bracha, Nini de Haba Kiddusha. It was like by Kiddush, we have a Chatimus Bracha on Friday night. We say, Baruchat Hashem Kaddish Shabbos. So, but that's because in Kiddush, we said, Tchila Hu L'Mikrai Kodesh. It's the first, and there's a question exactly what this means, but Shabbos is the first of the Mikrai Kodesh of all the other holidays. So there's different ways to explain this, but you could say one way the Ramban understands it that Shabbos is the Yisod of Hashem creates the world, and then the Mikrai Kodesh are the Yisod that Hashem has Hashkacha through history. And both of them is Tehillah Mikrai Kodesh. But since it veers a little bit from topic, so it's Mekadesh Shabbos. So this bracha, which is also talking about a type of Kiddushin, so we're also going to have here a Chatimus bracha. All right, let me say a number of things I want to say, and then I don't know if we have time, but we'll see how this goes. Now, wait. Okay, we have Dinim Panim Chadasho. All right, let me just do the Panim Chadasho, then we'll do. Okay, two more lines. So, the third white line. Tana Rabbanan, the bark of Yurcha Tana Basar Kol Shiva, Amar Yehuda B'Husha Ba'u Panim Chadashot. Why you have Panim Chadashot? So, he mentions here, so the Rambam explains that anyone who did not hear the recital of Sheva Brachot at the Chuppah qualifies as the Panim Chadashot, even if he participated in the wedding feast. So, if I didn't hear the Sheva Brachot under the Chuppah, then I'm Panim Chadashot. That's the way the Rambam learned. No, he gives it one night. He gives it one night. He says, the Rush, however, maintains that Panim Chadashot refers to new guests who have not participated in the wedding feast or in any of the previous Sheva Brachot meals, regardless of whether they listen to the recital of the Sheva Brachot at the Chuppah. So in other words, even if I heard the Sheva Brachot, but I didn't participate in the Simcha, and then I'm Panim Chadashot. Moreover, the Rush explains that Panim Chadashot refers to meaningful guests who adhere to the meal. Alternatively, some say the guests must be of enough significance to the host to prepare extra food on their behalf. The presence of such a guest adds joy to the meal and necessitates the recital of Sheva Brachot. However, if a stranger happened to wander in, he would not qualify as Panim Chadashot. So according to the Rush, somebody who's going to add Simcha to it. If somebody walks in from the door, if I take like the waiter to join the whole thing, he's not cast to Panim Chadashot. Now, the commentators explain that the Rambam and the Rush fundamentally disagree as to the reason for the presence of Panim Chadashot necessitates the recital of Sheva Brachot. The Rush understands the Panim Chadashot enhances the Simcha, joy of the Chasen Kala and the other guests, and as a result, it is fitting to recite Sheva Brachot. To achieve this enhanced Simcha, the Panim Chadashot must be a meaningful guest who has not yet participated in the previous meals. So according to the Rush, I need somebody new who's adding to the Simcha. On the other hand, the Rambam is of the opinion that during the week of Sheva Brachot, any person who has not had a chance to fulfill the mitzvah of reciting or listening to Sheva Brachot in honor of the Chasen must do so when feasible. He says, according to the Rambam, therefore, the new guest warrants the recital of Sheva Brachot regardless of whether he enhances the Simcha. Anybody who walks in, hasn't heard Sheva Brachot is good. And according to the Rush, even if I heard the Sheva Brachot, but I didn't participate in the Simcha, so that I could also be. Now, Tosfos, Dibur Matzil Vahu, if you look at the bottom line of Tosfos, he says, Omer Reed, the Panim Chadashot in Kori L'Nedam Shemar B'Mishvila Simcha Yoter. He says, that Panim Chadashot is somebody like, it's like the Rush, that I'm adding more simcha. He says, "Shabbat, hashlim panim chadashot." You mean by Gadah, "Mizmor shlim shabbat, amar tzorku panim chadashot ba'ulukan." Nemar shira. So, in other words, Shabbos counts as panim chadashot. That's what Tosfos is getting at. So, Shabbos counts as panim chadashot. Hatam nami marvel before Shabbos simcha v'sudah. Because on Shabbos, you're adding to the simcha. Now, so we did the Tosfos. The Rambam, however, mentions no such halacha. So, Tosfos mentions Shabbos is an exception. Shabbos counts as panim chadashot. But the Rambam doesn't mention that at all. So the Mefarshim point out that the position of the Rosh and the Rambam regarding Shabbos are consistent with the respective opinions cited above as the purpose of Panim Chadashot. The Rosh is of the opinion that Shem Barakah was recited during the Shabbos meals, even if there is no Panim Chadashot present, because the role of the Panim Chadashot is to enhance the feast when the Shabbos meals are sufficiently festive without the presence of new guests. In other words, something that adds to the Simcha. So Shabbos adds to the Simcha, because Shabbos I have the special meals. On the other hand, the Rambam is of the opinion that even on Shabbos, Sheva Baruch Hu cannot be recited unless someone who has not yet performed the mitzvah of reciting or listening to Sheva Baruch Hu is present. Regardless of the gaiety of the Shabbos meals, there's no obligation to repeat Sheva Baruch Hu unless someone is present who has not yet fulfilled his obligation. So Rambam learns, is there somebody here who has not yet participated in the Sheva Baruch Hu? If so, then we can do it. Otherwise, we can't. And the Rosh learns, anybody who's adding to the Simcha, but Shabbos adds to the Simcha. The Rambam rules, based on the Gemara at the end of Zayin Amud Aleph, and when a bachur, a man who is not previously married, marries a widow, his mitzvah to rejoice with his bride for 3 days, but Sheva Baruchah may be recited for 7 days. The Rashba argues that once the mitzvah of Simcha ceases and the couple is permitted to go to work, there can be no longer any mitzvah to recite Sheva Baruchah. So the Rashba wants to say that if there's no Simcha, in other words, if the Simcha is capped at 3 days, then the Sheva Baruchah can't go for 7 days. We didn't do this, but that's what the Rashba holds. Then the Brisker Rav, which is usually Rebbe Yitzchak Soloveitchik, explained, and we only have a few more minutes, that the position of the Rambam regarding this issue is related to his understanding of the mitzvah to recite Sheva Baruchah. According to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah for a person who has not yet recited Sheva Baruchah to recite them in the presence of a chassan, if the Birkat HaMazon, if a minion is present. This obligation lasts for 7 days after the wedding, because that is when the chassan is identified as such. After 7 days, he's no longer classified as a chassan. Thus, this mitzvah applies even if the bride is a widow, and the mitzvah of Simcha is in effect only 3 days, because the obligation to recite Sheva Baruchah, according to the Rambam, is not dependent on Simcha, but rather the presence of a chassan. So a chassan, so in a chinami, if Bachar marries the widow, so he's a chassan for 7 days. So I have a mitzvah. Okay, Nori. No, I don't think that is the case. So there's more to talk about. Okay, Aaron Moshe was very patient. Let's Aaron Moshe, what did you want to say quickly? Aaron Moshe?
Yeah, I wanted to say that in this week she said about being in the Sedva, there's a Yonis from Ben Israel that says...
Well, I can't hear you.
You hear me? Do you hear me?
What? No.
Do you hear me? No, I turned it off. I turned the mute off. There's a Yonis in Benazil that says that you have to check 18 tvefas. Yet we learned in Fulham that you don't have to check.
So he says,
Kol Haschol, that's the first paraduma you have to check. The same thing. By a chosin, the first year zit in the land. I mean, we have the Shana Rishina. And they say by a Sudas Bar Mitzvah, Rav Ara LaBelle's used to make the Bar Mitzvah boy drink the whole kites at the end when he benched.
There's a different idea.
Yeah. And it has a color.
All right.
And the second thing I wanted to say is that in the case of the
Basula, we have to double Mincha in 20 seconds. Go ahead.
And the second thing I wanted to say is when the Basula was with the guy for a year, I think she could donate her white dress to a gemara.
All right. Okay. Now, let me just start the recording on a second.